What's going on, everybody? We are coming to you live from Farmington Hills, Michigan at Take a Chance Records. I'm Will, a.k.a. Siren. We got Nate over here.
Yes, sir. We're back.
How you feeling, bro? I know, yeah. We did take a little break because we filmed a couple.
Yeah.
And now we're back. We were supposed to have more today.
Been a rough weekend.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
Yeah, me as well.
But no, I'm glad to be back in here. It's been a minute. Today we have someone that drove an hour and a half for us.
Wild.
Appreciate the commute out here.
Yeah.
Saginaw's very own. We got Tango Banks.
What up, y'all? It's Top Shelf Tango, aka Big Banks. Tango Banks and his bitch. Let's get to it, man.
Welcome to the pod, man. Welcome to TAC. Just to kind of jump into it. I mean, we talked a little bit off camera before we started getting on the air, but you know, run me through like your upbringing. You know, for the people that are watching, how old are you? Where are you from? Like I said, from Saginaw, but you know, just a little bit about your upbringing, what you were doing as a kid, man. Before music came into play.
I'm from Michigan, like we said. Saginaw, fucking was young. I've been kind of back and forth between Saginaw, Midland. My mom didn't really want us in the streets, so she moved us to Midland, kind of stay out of that area. Music-wise, man, I kind of fell into music just I always been listening to music, always just like that was just kind of one of the things that was that I did. But anyways, I remember when I really kind of started making, I used to just write rhymes in my head. I didn't really even do it for anything, just a pastime. I used to have to walk them back and forth to the bus station, all this other shit, whatever. Anyways, so time goes by, and I just remember sitting down one day, me and my friends, we would kind of make, like, parody raps. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, who is, like, Lonely Island or some shit, you know?
Yeah, Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, like, we would just make, like, dumb songs just to have fun. We just young, you know what I'm saying? Don't have nothing to do. And then I just remember one day, I was at the crib. I was like, bro, I just want to write a verse. Shits and giggles, like, you know what I'm saying? Just something to do. And I wrote it, and I just kind of fell in love with the process of just, you know, after I wrote that verse, and I'm, like, showing everybody, and people was like, damn, bro, that's hard. Yeah. I'm like, okay, like, let me go do another one. And I show people, hey, you know, I'm at school. Yeah, that's hard. Like, you should keep doing that. And so it just kind of took off from there, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to play football growing up. I played football, you know, I was on the team, all that other shit. I had plans to, you know, I wanted to go to the NFL type shit. So writing music was just something I like to do in my free time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it just transitioned to, I just kept going, and I was like, fuck it. Like,
I don't mean to cut you off, but you said you were into writing and you're showing people. Was this like a recorded file, or are you just performing
just
it
performing
for them?
It,
so,
yeah.
So at what point do you take it to the studio and like actually get serious about recording it?
So I would say still in high school, I probably was writing for maybe a year or so. Not too long, but I had a homie, he did music. He made beats. He made music, all that type of shit. And so I had plugged in with him, and I was like, you know, hey, like, da-da-da. He's like, yeah, for sure. He's got a home studio. It's literally in his fucking bedroom. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, two speakers, a microphone. We're putting, like, blankets on the windows and shit, trying to, you know, dampen the noise and shit. And we just recording, and I ended up recording this song. And, bro, looking back, that shit was so trash.
That's how it be, though. That is how it
is,
though.
It was terrible, bro. But, like, I ended up putting it out. And, you know, I'm showing everybody in high school. I'm doing, like, comment spams and shit on YouTube videos. I'm going to all these fucking big.
You were one of those guys?
Oh, yeah. My bad.
No.
I mean, it'd be funny because it's like looking back, like, you know, you'd be scrolling through shit and people like, check out my song. It'd be like, bro, get the fuck out of here. But yeah, I was one of those for a minute in time.
Did you do it on SoundCloud?
No.
Back in the bro.
Yeah.
Those people used to piss me off so bad because I'd be trying to get to the right part of the song and I end up pressing a link and I'm like, I don't give a fuck about this song.
No, luckily I didn't link my shit. I would just say, you know,
this is
I
the
had
song.
I had a different rap name back then. Man, I don't even want to get into that because that shit was trash too, bro. I call myself Pretty Boy Ezzy, bro.
That's not a bad rap.
Nah, bro. It was.
I mean, but like,
it's not horrible.
It's not the worst one I've ever heard.
It's not. It's, yeah, I've definitely heard worse, but that shit was.
Is it because of a Pretty Boy Fredo?
No, low key. It was so my name in high school, like my nickname was Ezzy, right? Mm-hmm. And I just. Bro, I thought I was the shit. I'm a pretty boy out here, motherfucker. So, funny enough, my rap name before that, I had this is kind of why I feel like, you know, rap maybe chose me. I had created a rap name back before I was even writing shit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, I don't know if you guys did that back in like elementary and high school or middle school, where you guys would have your like, we created like rap names, and we would just we wasn't even rappers. Yeah. We didn't even know how to rap, and so my name was Fatal Rhymes.
That's kind of tough.
In 2000s, that's a hard
rap, right? Man, exactly. So I'm just like, all right, bro. But, you know, like I said, it was just some bullshit. And then I ended up like trying to start taking it seriously. And I was like, well, like you said, that's like kind of 2000s, 90s. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That shit would have been crazy if I was trying to write with Pac and them. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, I got to change it up. And so I had the song ready to go, but I needed a new name, so I just kind of put the two together, said fuck it. But I released that shit, and I'm just like at the school kind of promoting, telling everybody to check it out, this, that, the third. I'm comment spamming on YouTube and all these other shits, just sharing a post and shit. And so that's kind of like where I took it from, just the, you know, writing and just doing it kind of for fun, to actually getting in the studio and, you know, doing it for real.
Where does the Tango Banks persona start? Like, so, what year is this, and how did that name even come about?
So I would say fast forward probably about, actually I'm not even gonna hold you, that Pretty Boy Ezzy only lasted like goddamn like 2 weeks, right? I was like, I need a new name. I was like, I got this song ready, it's like burning a hole in my pocket. I said, boom, put it out, Pretty Boy Ezzy. And I remember I had got some comments on the YouTube video, and they were like, I remember one dude, he said the song's hard, but the name sucks. And I was like, damn. I was like, but low key, kind of right. So anyways, I switched my name. I was kind of in between. I really didn't know, and blah, blah, blah. But I ended up kind of just trying to take some time, you know, longer than just a couple of days and think of some shit. And I was just like, you know, Banks, like, that shit is hard, you know, I'm about that money and about that cash, like, Banks. Tango, I don't know, bro, it just kind of sounded hard. Like,
sounded good off the top.
Yeah, you know, it just sounded hard.
Tango Banks is a good rapper.
I put them together. I was like, Tango Banks, that shit kind of hard. Like, I wish I had a better story with how I came up with it, but, like, it was just kind of, you know, it just kind of came to me. I was like, bro, that shit kind of hard. Like, you know what I mean? So
name is tough.
what position did you play in football?
Funny enough, bro, I played defensive end, and I was about 100 pounds lighter than I am now. Yeah, so they did not have me doing what I needed to do at all. So I ended up – I had a couple college offers. I decided at that point I didn't want to play football anymore. I was like, I want to try to see if I could – you know, do this shit with music or whatever. So I kind of forwent that, like, you know, and plus I kind of knew, I was like, bro, I was like 100, and I guess I'm not 100 pounds heavier. I was like 180, 160 pounds. Like, I was small.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way. I was like, if my goal is to go to the league, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go to the league at 160 pounds. Even, you know, if I fill out a little bit more, are you talking 20 pounds maybe?
Especially at DM.
They would have moved you to, like, safety or corner
exactly.
or something.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, my football team, I guess, looking back, I'm like, they kind of just needed me there. You know what I'm saying? They didn't really set them up, like, for success beyond what they needed there. But, you know, so.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Reminds me of my middle school football days. They put me on the line when I was about 4'3", 95 pounds.
They be just throwing people in there sometimes. They be like, hey, we got a quarterback, we got a wide receiver. Well, damn, we need some old linemen to fucking get on. Like,
yeah, it was crazy.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, what the fuck is we doing here, bro?
There was no reason I should have been on the line. Since you are big on football, I'm just curious, you know, are you big into the NFL or, like, fantasy football or anything? You into all that?
Big Lions fan, as you can see by the shirt.
Okay.
You,
oh,
you
I
know
even,
what I'm
I
saying?
Even peep.
You said what?
I said, I didn't even peep the shirt.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, so got the Brian Branch, Brian, you know, Branch. The middle finger. That shit was iconic, bro. That shit was iconic to me.
How you feel about them right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hurt, bro. I was hurt. I definitely thought we should have beat the Commanders.
They just got better.
You think we're making it past the Eagles, though?
With the injuries to our defense and seeing how good the Eagles ended up turning it on. So, that Rams game, I think if we would have played them and they would have played the same way as the, like, they played against the Rams, I think that we probably could have, if our defense could have held together. But – the Super Bowl Eagles? Hell no. Nah.
No.
I'm telling you, though, had we beat the Eagles, had we beat the Commanders.
I think had we had our defense, I think we could have beat the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. I agree,
I think Saquon's running all over us.
Yeah, right now. Like with that our team injured that we team, had, yeah. But had we beaten the Commanders and we beat the Eagles, we would have fucked up Kansas
City. Hell yeah.
And I'll stand on that.
I do, too.
The Eagles
right there
killed
with you.
Them.
Beat the shit out. Like, low-key, I'm not even going to hold you. So, I had came back from Miami during the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. And I got home, and I cut the game on. And the game, I was late as hell. The game, like, they had that new logo or, like, design or whatever they did with the things. And I saw that it was 6-40 or some shit like that. And I look, and I'm like, that's got to be a stat. I was like, that's got to be, like, penalty yards or some shit. I was like, because I'm like, you know, I didn't know who was going to win. But, like, either way, I thought it was going to be a good game. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm like, 6-40, that's got to be penalty yards. I sit down. I look, the 6-40 still there. I look a little harder. I'm like, that's the goddamn score, like, bro.
I just hope this is the downfall of the Chiefs. Finally,
it probably
man.
Will be.
I mean, you can't really call it a downfall when you make the Super Bowl. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
Just because they lost, I guess you could.
But. As long as that dude's throwing the ball behind quarterback, they're going to be
in it every time. I think maybe the dominance that we've seen out of them the last few years is going to go away.
Yeah.
Especially, I know Travis Kelce said he's running it back.
He's getting up there in age, though.
He's kind of not.
I mean, they didn't have a great year this year.
Well, a lot of injuries hit them as well.
True. Yeah. But if you look at the wins that they had, like, yes, they had a lot of them. But if you look at them, it's like, oh, missed call there. Oh, missed field goal. Oh, penalty that shouldn't, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
They could have easily been like 4-12 or whatever, however many games.
I just, they did win like games by like within 7 points.
Yeah.
And it was like little things changed the game.
And I saw a lot of discourse about how, like, because last year they weren't as dominant as they had been, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, they're going to, and then they turn it on in the playoffs, and that's kind of how it looked like it was going to go. But like the Super Bowl, I feel like kind of really. I don't know if maybe necessarily exposed them, but it definitely kind of confirmed.
That Eagles team is just a really good fucking team.
The thing with the Chiefs, too, because NFL, it's a business. It's entertainment. Yep. That's really what it comes down to. They're going to pull the most ratings. I'm not going to say it's rigged, but there's something going on that we don't know behind the scenes.
I definitely think those bigger teams, I don't necessarily think that they would go in there being like a – like, because I see people like, oh – Chiefs have to win this game. I don't think it's like that. I don't think they're like predicting the outcomes of games.
Right.
Like, oh, mm-hmm.
The
know,
script.
Yeah. Yeah. Type shit. But I definitely think that there is a bias when it comes to the reffing and shit and mm-hmm. how they do stuff. So like certain teams is going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
And when you got two really good teams playing, the football players will tell you like it's literally a difference between one or two plays. And then you get a penalty that's going to switch some shit. That's the difference of that game.
I'll take you back. I saw a clip on TikTok today or on Twitter today of a famous wide receiver talking about a playoff game, 2015, the Green Bay Packers versus the Cowboys. It was Dez Bryant talking about that it should have been a catch. Mm-hmm. That play where he fell on the ground and bobbled it or whatever. It probably was. But I went and commented, does everybody fucking forget how they got there?
Right.
They fucked us over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's always Detroit versus everybody.
Yeah.
When it comes
to
refs, whether it's the imperfect game, whether it's the Claude Lemieux incident with the Avalanche back in the day, it never goes Detroit's way.
You know what's funny to me is because now that Detroit has actually been good for the last, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah.
I saw people in the comments this year, and this shit made me – it was so funny that I couldn't even be mad at it. And it was like, oh, you know, you guys can't win without the refs. And I'm like,
what?
Bro, I swear to God.
They don't know what we endure.
That's why I said, bro, there are literally 20-minute compilation videos of the Lions getting fucked by the refs. 20 minutes, bro. It's not just like
it's not just
there.
A few seconds.
It's
20
minutes from the 2011 season, and then 20 minutes from the 2010 season,
exactly.
And then 20, you know?
Just keep
exactly.
going.
Like you said, though, that fucking – that Cowboys game, and I saw a lot of people like, oh, well, you guys were up, what was it, like 20-7 or what? I don't remember what the score was.
Yeah.
But it's like you had chances to put away, and it's like that's true. But games are so much – there's so – momentum really plays a huge fact into it. And, you know, it's really deflating as a team, and they just weren't able to overcome it. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, that one play – you know, and then the ref or the Green Bay wants to complain about the refs. It's like, like you said, bro, did you not remember 7 days ago
when you guys pass interference us and then they picked up the fucking flag for some reason?
That's the craziest part.
Yeah,
to me,
picking it up.
Because Stafford's like, how do you justify that?
Like the Rams, Saints. That was a horrible no call, but they didn't even throw the flag first.
Yeah,
like it's one thing when you throw the flag and be like, no, that's a penalty, and then you get together with the other people and they're like, no, actually, no, never mind.
And it
like,
was. Yeah, you watch that play back. It's not like, oh, I get it.
Yeah,
it wasn't like some ticky tack shit. No. It was. I mean,
he gave him no chance to catch the ball, and he was touching him way before the ball was even close to him. Yeah. That's pass interference.
Well,
we win that game
before
that
we.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. No, I was gonna say before we get off the whole football thing, I wanted to say something about the Chiefs again. I saw something on Twitter X. Sorry.
Nah, fuck that.
I still call that shit Twitter.
It's still called like a tweet. Like they still call it that.
Yeah, what are you retrafting on an X?
I saw something that said, you know, it's the NFL offseason when Chiefs players are getting arrested.
Bro, I saw that. Because
the Xavier Worthy stuff.
Yeah, he just got picked
dismissed.
Up.
I know.
That's wild. Mm-hmm.
And like as bad as I want them to do. Because I'm a Lions fan, I have Pacheco and Rashee Rice on my dynasty football team, so I kind of need them to do all right.
I'll be like last night, for example, I was watching Pistons Warriors, and like, of course, I want the Pistons to win.
Yeah, but you had Golden State money line.
But I have Draymond on my fantasy team, and he hit that three late. Like to win it, basically.
I didn't see it.
Oh yeah, we were up by one. Like I'm like, okay, we're gonna win, and Draymond pulled the three and just
Draymond hitting a three is crazy.
And then
was it in Detroit?
Nah, at Golden State. Worst part. So that building a fucking erupted. Yeah. Detroit had it. It was so irritating. Yeah. But just like that though, he hits it and he ended up having like 20 points last night. Yeah.
Speaking of Draymond,
you know?
That's a Saginaw native, man. Shout out to
fuck
Draymond.
I fuck with Draymond because he went to Michigan State. I don't fuck with Draymond because he's on the Warriors. You know what I mean?
There's been talks that he wanted to come back to.
He will. It'll happen.
You think at some point? I don't know. I think he retires a Warrior. He'd be stupid not to. It's like D Wade leaving, bro.
I mean, Clay left.
I feel like if Dre was going to leave, it has to be Detroit. I think if he doesn't come to Detroit, then he retires.
It's
got to
be the right time.
The only other time he ever got like a big-ass offer is I remember Sacramento wanted him.
Oh, yeah.
And Golden State was like, fuck that. It matched it. Yep. And he was like, I'm not going to fucking Sacramento.
Yeah, he just wanted the bag.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will say this. I love Draymond. And Draymond was a dog at Michigan State. And I think had he got drafted by, like, the Kings – or the Raptors or something like that and just ended up there, you know?
You don't think his career plays out the same? I'm not going to say he's a champion, but you don't think he's still that leader, that
I think he'd probably be like one of those underrated guys.
He's a higher up version of Dylan Brooks if he doesn't have those rings. It makes a lot more sense because you can say he's in those playoff games. He defended against LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Durant, whoever.
Bro, he had one of the greatest finals performances we've ever seen.
Finals. If he's not there, that doesn't happen.
That's fair, but...
You know?
We can't talk like that. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But had he got drafted by like the Kings or the Knicks then, when he was a rookie,
I think no matter where you put him, I think he's a good system fit.
I'm not saying he would be bad, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Do you think he's a Hall of Famer now?
Yeah,
I was gonna say I think let alone from what he did at State is he's a Hall of Famer because that's not just
is
the NBA.
Is Denzel Valentine a Hall of Famer?
No,
I mean he did just. Is Kalen Lucas a Hall of Famer?
No, do you not understand how the Hall of Fame works?
No, I get it. Like it could be college players or guys. But I'm saying
but you also need like a pretty successful NBA career to be a part of that.
So you're saying
those guys didn't.
You're saying a part of that, like the Michigan State included with the Warriors shit, like makes him a Hall of Famer no matter what.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay, I get you. That makes more sense. Yeah. I thought you were saying he was just a Hall of Famer based off what he did at Michigan State.
Oh
like,
no,
fuck
no,
the
no,
rest
no,
of
no,
the
no,
shit.
No, no, no. I'm just
because I was like these other guys did better than
they take that
in college,
into account.
Right?
Like it's just the basketball Hall of Fame. Everything you did for basketball, not just in the NBA.
That makes a lot of sense. I agree with you. I took that wrong. I thought you were like Draymond, just at Sparty, those 4 years, he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, no. No, he was a dog.
I fuck with Draymond, though. Yeah, with Draymond.
Were you at a school near him? Because you guys probably overlapped just a little bit, didn't you?
No, so he went to, I believe, Saginaw High. I went to high school in Midland, so it's like 30 minutes away. It's the next city over. But no. He's hella older than me.
I just wasn't sure if you were like a freshman at some point when he was
what
like a senior.
I graduated fucking
Shit, at this point, I don't even fucking remember. I was 29. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So
14?
Yeah.
2014?
Yeah, around that. Draymond probably graduated, what, like 09?
Yeah, probably around there.
It was close.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah. There's a couple guys from Saginaw, though, that, like, went on and hooped.
Yeah, who else from around your area that are some notable names that, you know, some athletes or artists or...
So, in terms of, I know Lamar Woodley went to, he's a football player. Yep. He went to, he played in Pittsburgh, I think. He went to Saginaw. It's another artist, HBK Boom. I don't know if
you guys.
He's from Saginaw.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Yep. I'm trying to think.
Is Devin Booker from Saginaw?
Grand Rapids.
No, he's from Granville. Yeah.
That's the only ones I can really think of off the top of my head. Right. Yeah,
and Draymond.
That would have any kind of big.
Yeah.
I know they say Stevie Wonder is from Saginaw. So,
really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew he's from here.
Yep.
Yeah, I knew he's like from Michigan, but I didn't know Saginaw in particular. Yeah.
I almost went to Saginaw Valley.
You went to Grand Valley.
Yeah. I almost went to Saginaw Valley.
What is there? They're Cardinals?
Yep.
Yeah. It was on my list. I didn't go to college, but like it was one of the ones that I was like, oh, that could be cool, you know?
Right. Hell yeah.
Ended up on Henry Ford. Didn't go.
Just to kind of jump into your music again. Mm-hmm. So under the name Tango Banks, you have, I want to say, 8 tracks out right now.
Yeah.
Does that sound right? 8 tracks?
Somewhere around
there. That's over a span of what, 2-3 years? I think roughly, your first single was 22.
Yeah, but I put an EP out, 22. That was just kind of a bunch of songs that I had at the time. Just put them out. I think I went kind of ghost for a little while, but then I started dropping again. I think I shot my first music video last summer. And so I got that as a couple of V's, and I got back out right now.
Okay.
I do got some stuff coming out pretty soon here. I got a couple singles I'm going to release. Probably the first one will be is called Out of Reach with my man's 29. He lives in Tampa now, but so that's kind of what I've been waiting on for to put that out. I was trying to figure out how to get that video shot. When I was in Miami, I was trying to see if we could link up, but we just
didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work out. Yeah, I guess Tampa's a lot farther from Miami than I
thought.
Yeah.
I never, until I went to Florida, you never realize how far, how
big Florida is.
Like, Orlando is fucking like 5 hours from Miami, and I was like, damn, okay. Yeah. Like, that's like, I guess they do fly when the Magic go play the Heat.
Yeah, you know?
I thought it'd be like a 20-minute bus ride.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of answered what I was going to ask you. You know, like, what's the schedule look like for upcoming, you know, projects, events, and music? You said you got some singles coming out, but I've noticed that you don't have an album out. No. And after, you know, 3-4 years, I'm just curious, like, is there
a reason behind that? I do have, in terms of a reason behind not having one out now, not necessarily. I've been just trying to stack up, you know, get everything in place. But I do have an EP finished. Actually, I have to record one song, but it's written. But yeah, it's ready to come out. I just gotta, you know, kind of get everything together, put all the pieces in play. You know, I get this video shot, get that song recorded, and really that's the only thing I'm waiting on right now, you know, kind of gathering up the content to start trying to push it and promote it. But
that's smart.
Yeah.
It's a good way to go about it.
I know you said you're really big on writing. You've always enjoyed writing as a kid, even before you started recording.
Yeah.
But do you ever have a different type of workflow or process? You know, like, what's an average studio session kind of look like for you?
So for me, going to the studio, I always will go in with an idea of what I want to record. I write at home. I feel like I'm best just at my like by myself writing. I feel like that's when I come up with some of my more clever things. That's not to say that I can't do, you know, the punch in thing. I just noticed that I'm a person, I don't like to waste time, so it's like I don't want to be in the studio not knowing what I'm gonna do.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And then
if I end up
getting in the groove and the session's gotta end or if I'm just not feeling it that day, like, damn, I just came out here for nothing. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So
I like how he said he's big on time management. He got here at exactly 2:30. I swear, it was exactly 2:30.
Bro, I got it right away. Right when you said, like, don't want to waste time. I remember recording, like, back when I was recording with Joe, and I would pay him. I would have every single bar, like, ready, every ad lib, knew how I was going to rap it, and then I'd be in the booth for, like, 30 minutes, you know?
Hell yeah.
But punching in, like, that's what I was going to ask you, actually, later. Like, I thought about it earlier. You don't punch in at all, really?
Not for real. So, most of the time, I would say probably 90% of the time, I know exactly what I'm going to say, how I want to say it. Now, ad libs, per se, I'm not... When I'm writing, I kind of think about them as they come, but those are kind of more things that I'll punch
off the top.
You know, it'll kind of just be like whatever. So most of the time, I'll go in, had a song idea, know how I want it to go, you know, how I want maybe certain things mixed and everything like that. But and then I'll kind of go through and just off the top the ad libs and shit like that. But no, I usually don't punch in too much. Now if we in a session and it's just what I have written isn't connecting, you know what I'm saying, then I might shift my focus. I've definitely been there a couple of times where, you know, I'm starting to rap this shit and I'm looking out in the booth and they kind of just sitting there, like, looking around. I'm like, yeah, let's just scrap that, like, you know what I'm saying. I've definitely been in situations where, like, even just scrapping, I'd be like, all right, well, I had to scrap that whole verse, and then I'll just kind of start rapping some shit just right there.
Just on the fly or playing by ear if you need to.
Usually that doesn't happen. Usually I have an idea of a pretty good idea of what I want to do and how I want the session to go.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel you. When you were saying, like, you feel like you get your best work when you're by yourself and you come up with some of your clever things. I feel that. Because, like, with me, with my writing, when I would write a lot, that was when I thought I got my best work, was when I was just by myself chilling.
I feel like for me, it's less pressure in a way, you know what I'm saying? I feel like when you in a studio with other people, you know, even if it's just one other person, like, at least for me, I feel like there's this pressure to come up with something hot, like, right,
perform.
So it's like it kind of takes away from, then I start like getting in my head, I'm like, damn, you might say some dumb shit. You by yourself, you just like, oh, that was stupid, you just kind of move on.
Exactly.
But like,
you're not gonna
around
judge
other
yourself.
People right, so it's just like, yeah, I just feel like it's less. And then, you know, I also, when I write, I'll go over certain shit just over and over and over and over again. So sometimes I'll be like, damn, they probably getting annoyed. I've spent 10 minutes on one line. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It'd be like that, though.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So really? It's like sometimes I might take 10 minutes, 20 minutes on one line. Sometimes I might knock a whole song out in 20 minutes. Like,
right.
I don't know how it's going to go. So it's just nice to be by myself at the crib, like, in an atmosphere that I'm comfortable and just like I can just do whatever I want.
Yeah,
I was gonna say it is nice to have that other ear in the studio, just because you know, like, what you want or like how you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you're gonna make the music that you care about the most. Like, really, that I don't think you should worry about what other people think, but at the same time you gotta make it appealing to an audience. Like, because if it's just you, that's like really like, oh, I like this, but this other person's like, oh, maybe not, maybe not.
Right.
You know, it's good to find that balance,
I
think. I
definitely feel like, so when I go in, I have an idea, but I'm open to other ideas too.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I've worked with engineers that I ended up having to stop working with them, not because anything was wrong, but because they were just kind of, I don't know if it was because that's just not the type of person they are, if they didn't want to like offend me or something, but they don't have a whole lot of constructive criticism. They don't have a lot of criticism at all.
Like the coaching side to it. Like,
yeah.
You know.
So it's like, you know, I might do something and be like, oh, you know, does that sound good enough? But yeah, it sounds good to me. And it was just like, it very well might've, but if I'm asking you that like multiple times and it's not everything sounds good to you, I'm like, bro, not everything sounds good. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I definitely want some influence and some advice. I'm definitely open to that shit, but like you said, you know, at the end of the day it is mine, but I'm definitely not one of them artists who's gonna be like, nah, bro, this is how I envisioned it,
yeah,
and this is exactly how it's gonna go.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
there are a lot of no one that I know, no engineer I've ever worked with has been like this, except maybe one. I'm not gonna say his name, obviously, but there are engineers out there that really just don't give a fuck what you record. They're you're paying me for 4 hours. I don't care. Like, yeah, it sounds good.
Hell,
you know?
Yeah.
So like that makes a lot of sense.
But I was going to say, I don't mean to cut you off,
no,
but
you're
at the
good.
Same time, like, they should care about it. There's some engineers that should care about it a little bit more because that's also their product as well. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, see, that's their work. That's
why I've worked with our engineers on the other side of the spectrum too that were a little too much.
Yes.
And it's just like,
you got to find that vibe.
Yeah, that very, it's a happy medium. Like for me, who is somebody, I can definitely run it, but I'm definitely open to ideas and I want to have a second opinion. Let me know what you think, but you can't be overbearing at the same time. Right. Because like you said, yes, your name is on it at the end of the day, but the average music listener doesn't give a fuck who engineered. Right. You know what I'm saying? They're not. No, they're going to see who wrote the song, who made the beat.
Yeah, the average listener's not looking at credits and all this. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. They just, you know, he rapped it, he produced it, they shot the video. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
People in the industry is going to be like, oh shit, you know, that's a bad mix. Maybe I'm not going to work with this guy, but 95% of people that's consuming the music isn't going to fucking care.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and like you were saying with the, like, you have to have some appeal to certain people, like, so you people, because, yeah, a lot of people say, like, music's an art and it doesn't matter if, like, if you're the only one that likes it, like, good. But, like, if you have a goal to grow, you have to look at it as music as a product as well. Yeah. Like, you have to appeal to certain people and stuff. So, like, I feel like you have that. Because, yeah, I mean, just talking about it, like, you have that vibe, you have that feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, like you said, it's, like, music is personal, and it's got to be for you. So, when I write tracks, first and foremost, I have to like it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, like, earlier I was talking about, you know, I put the song out that I think is trash now. At the time when I put it out, though, I liked it.
Yeah.
You know, people grow, people change and evolve. Times change and evolve and shit like that. So, but I would never put out a song that when I am done recording it, don't like.
Yep,
that, you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
I feel like some artists probably when they get up higher into the, like, you know, there's a lot of label influence and shit putting out songs that they don't like. But like you said, at the end of the day, I like the song. I want everybody to like it, right? But, you know, that's a balancing act too.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out, okay, what feels true to me, what feels right to me, what sounds good to me, but it's people gonna fuck with it too.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Got a happy medium again. Yeah. You gotta find that
exactly
middle ground.
Exactly.
You said that you're pretty much always coming to the studio prepared with your rhymes, but what's your, like, ideal writing space? You know, like, if you could pick one place to write for the rest of your life or something, like, what's that go-to spot?
So right now I kind of got, like, a studio room. I got, like, an extra room in my house. Like, so I just got, like, a desk. I got my little speakers and my mic and all that other shit. I wouldn't want to do that forever, obviously. You know what I'm saying? Like,
come on, girl.
But, you know, but I definitely – an atmosphere like that, just like a home studio, you know what I'm saying? Maybe have a, you know, an actual professional studio – a designated room for a studio. But, you know, that I think that would probably be my, if I had to choose, like, all right, this is where I want to write everything from now on.
Right.
Yeah, just like a nice private home studio. Just
cozy vibe.
Yeah, just cozy vibe. Yeah. I'm chilling, you know, got everything I need, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, do you ever get, like, a writing block? And if so, how do you overcome it?
I get writer's block a lot. I think one of my big things is, you know, sometimes I get too much in my own head, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah, that's not hard enough, I can do it harder. But anyways, writer's block for me, I think the biggest thing that I've learned about myself is I just gotta write through it. Like, just keep writing, like, and don't worry about how it's gonna sound. Like, a lot of times when I'm writing tracks, like, this is in my head the final version. Like, this is exactly how it's gonna be. You know, this bar is gonna be here. I might switch some things up a little bit here and there, but for the most part, this line that you hear is what I wrote when I was writing a song. And so I think I have too much of a bigger picture type of mindset where, like, I'm just thinking about the song as it's done. And so, yeah, a lot of the times I just write through it, just tell myself, this isn't it. Like, this, you don't, once you write, once you put the note in your notepad, once you put the pencil to paper and write that line, you still got the backspace. You still got an eraser. Like, you know what I'm saying? That you don't have, just because you put it down, don't mean you have to wrap it in the studio. And so that's how I kind of get myself out of a writer's block, is just keep writing through it, telling myself, like, this isn't the final product. Write it down, get the ideas out. Because the more you keep writing, the better
you know what I'm saying? It's like a muscle. The more you keep doing it,
yeah,
the better you get, the stronger you're gonna get, the better your lines are gonna come out. And so a lot of times I'll try to find like beats on YouTube that I like, but I wouldn't necessarily do a song to.
Right.
So like I'll have a whole collection of beats that I'm like, this is tough. Whether I wouldn't do a song to it because, you know, it doesn't fit my style, or maybe it's just not what I'm looking for. Maybe it's not there all the way yet, but it's something I like. I could vibe to it, but so I'll just try to write songs to that and just to get the creative juices going.
I've seen J. Cole say something very similar.
Yeah.
Are you really picky with your beats?
I don't know if I would say I'm really picky, per se. I think I'm very selective. I have usually so I work, you know, my creative process is I kind of think of the angle and then I reverse engineer everything, right? So I will, if I'm working on a body of work, or if I'm working, it's typically when that kind of kicks in is if I'm working on a body of work, a mixtape, an EP or something like that, I kind of have a sound that I'm looking for, you know what I mean? And so I might find a beat and I'm like, this is nice, this is good, I like it. I would put a song out in the world to it, but it might not fit this thing. So I might just put that out as a single. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, if it's like, all right, this definitely kind of, I might not necessarily have any plans for it, but I kind of like listen to it in the context of the mixtape. I'm like, okay, this would fit. You know, I like this. So, yeah, I definitely kind of, I'll search the internet just looking for a beat. I just want something hard. I don't give a fuck what it is. But in terms of the decision making, in terms of where, what I do with it from there, I would say I'm pretty.
I was gonna say, so when it comes to the whole body of work or a project, like, are you big on like how they all transition together and the track list and stuff like that?
So right now with the EP that I'm about to come out with, right, that's more of a lead up to the mixtape. So I got a mixtape. That one's pretty much all the way done. And so my line of thinking with the two of them, right, is I came up with the mixtape first. And it was like, I want everything to ebb and flow. Like, I want everything to sound, you know. And so when I'm putting everything together, I'm like, does it come up? Does it come down? Does it, you know, does this song sound good behind this one? Yeah. Is it too jarring? Does it not fit the right vibe? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I definitely, when it comes to ordering tracks, with this EP that's going to come out, I haven't really done that a whole lot. That's, like I said, it's more of a lead up into what I've got coming later. So that process isn't as intensive, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I definitely be thinking about that shit, like how things flow.
Yeah.
I'm not big, you know, I respect the fuck out of J. Cole and Kendrick because they can rap about, like, they have themes and shit like that.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily a storyteller type rapper or a thematic type of rapper. So, but if I did, you know, I would definitely think that too. Like, okay, is this,
I mean, no matter what, like you were saying, like still making it flow, you're still telling a story.
Yeah.
Even if you're not like necessarily like in your words, like the way the beats and the way the album's going.
And that's exactly like you said, that's how I do feel. It's like, so what I'm saying might not necessarily be trying to convey an overarching theme, right?
Yeah.
You know, Kendrick's got To Pimp a Butterfly and it's got this overarching theme. This song might not necessarily touch on it, but it gets into that, right? I'm not that type of rapper for real, but like the beats still, in the beat selection, the way they come through, it does tell a story.
You want it to be a little, like, got some cohesiveness to it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's waves, brother.
You know, waves. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one thing that for me, I can kind of tell if somebody takes this shit seriously as an art form versus just doing this shit just to do this shit by how they put their albums together. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you just kind of are throwing a bunch of hot songs, not that's bad.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But I could tell somebody who really respects the craft.
Right.
Like, you know, I want to be a good artist. For me personally, I'm a rapper, and, you know, if I can get in, make a lot of money, and be done,
yeah,
okay, cool. I made money, but I
do have a desire to push the culture forward too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be just a rapper that, oh, you remember Tango Bang?
Yeah. You want to leave a legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I want to push the culture forward because I do respect the art form. I do respect the craft of rap music, mm-hmm. you know, of rap culture, of just everything it encapsulates. And so, I feel like that's something that's important to me.
Yeah.
I feel like you can kind of discern who is of that field and who's not kind of by listening to their projects. Like, is it all over the place? Is it cohesive? Does it?
I'm really big on the whole cohesiveness of the production and whatnot.
We've
so.
Had to do it for like 9 different albums, right? Whether it's the No Hard Feelings or Chance's albums or your projects or so.
What would you say your biggest weakness is as an artist, like something you know or want to improve on in the future?
I would definitely say my perfectionism. I think my perfectionism is what's caused me to kind of be inconsistent when it comes to music. It's not that I'm not working on stuff, but it's like
you're a perfectionist.
I get so locked in, bro. Like, the song could be 99% good, but I'm sitting here focused on that 1%. Like, you know what I mean? And so, like I said, I have that bigger picture type of mentality when it comes to everything that I'm doing. So I'm like, if I don't see it right away, I start getting frustrated. And sometimes I'll walk away from it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's a good thing to have, but mm-hmm. it definitely is a weakness in the sense that sometimes I take too long. Like, you know what I mean? I'll definitely, instead of just doing something, just saying, fuck it, like, put it out, write what you were writing, do what you know what I'm saying? Do it everything right now. I'm like, no, it's gotta be perfect. It's gotta be perfect. Like, and that ends up putting me in a position where, like, I'm not doing any motion. Slow motion is better than no motion.
Right.
And it's like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I end up forcing myself or, you know, finding myself having no motion because I'm too much up here. Like, you know? So I definitely, that's one thing that I would, there's no magic cure for it. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's just trying to have to care less a little bit.
No, there's definitely pros and cons to being a perfectionist for sure.
Yeah, and like, I mean, like, perfect, I mean, music is an imperfect art. Yeah. There's no perfect song.
Right.
Anywhere. Any genre. There's no perfect song. There's something wrong with every single song. So, yes, keep that, because you do need that, like, to determine making good music and not making good music. But, yeah, like, realize, like, see that, too, you know?
If you could make a collab album with any artist in the music industry, who would it be and why?
Oh, man, I would say it's probably a couple of different names, but I think the biggest one I would have to say, and this is probably the fucking easy answer, probably tomatoes in the chat, like, type shit, but Drake for sure. You know what I'm saying? Drake, I mean, you can't go wrong. And it's not even the popularity of Drake. Obviously, that's a huge boost. You know, you get a Drake look, I mean, you're good. I mean, and you know, they say the Drake stimulus package, and, you know, it helps boost you for sure. But mm-hmm. I actually do fuck with Drake's music. You know, touching, I think we said something about it earlier, that with the beef, you know what I'm saying, between Drake and Kendrick. Like, for me, I was one of those people, I was kind of in the middle. Like, I fuck with both artists heavily, you know, for different reasons. But, you know, so for me, it's kind of like, I don't really have any skin in the game because, like, you see people trashing Drake, you see people trashing Kendrick, and da da da. And I'm like, both of what you're saying is kind of true, but you guys are gassing it for real. But yeah, I think if I could do a collab album with anybody, it would definitely have to be Drake.
Who would you want to produce it?
Ooh, that's a good question. Who would I want to produce it?
If you said Metro,
I was waiting for him to say it, and then I was going to be like, that ain't
happening. Hey, Drake, you care if we get one of your ops on the production, bro? I don't know. I guess when it comes to the producing side of things, I don't want to say that I'm not paying attention to shit, but I feel like the music that I make, and I'm not trying to sound like, oh, like, I'm not like everybody else, but I feel like a lot of my sound doesn't necessarily fit in a category of any big producer. You know what I mean? It's not some like elitist shit, but I just kind of, you know what I mean? It's just I definitely, all the producers that are big right now are good, but like I couldn't see myself doing a whole album on Mustard Beats.
Right. I can only think of three now producers. Right off the top of my head, I can think. Metro, obviously, and then I was thinking Mustard because those two have been the biggest. And then DJ Khaled, that was the other one.
That's all you can think of?
Right off the top of my, like, I couldn't tell you what any other producer looks like.
Right. Wow. And I feel like,
I mean, what's London on the track look like?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the big name producers too are kind of have a lot of trap influence. You know what I'm saying? I don't really make trap music. I feel like, I definitely have some songs that with other artists, and just even songs that might be trappier, but like, I feel out of place on a Metro album, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, good for one song, but it's kind of like, if that's not your lane, it's not your lane. Like, you kind of out of place. DJ Mustard is West Coast. I'm not from the West Coast. I can't fucking crib walk. Like,
what the fuck is it? Like Detroit big ones. I can't think of any of them.
Hell of a.
I knew that one. And I know what Hell of a looks like.
Damn, there's another one.
Energy.
That's what I was. Yeah, I feel like at least in Michigan, Detroit rap, Hell of an Energy are kind of the guys.
The top two,
Top guys, for sure.
That makes sense. Yeah, I knew both of those. I don't know why I was blanking, but I knew I know both. Hell of a, I know what he's, I don't know what Energy looks like, but I know what Hell of a looks like, because I've seen him in videos.
There's a lot of guys. You got Danny G, who's going crazy,
too. Primo.
Primo.
I know Primo.
Yep.
You got Zero. Zero? No, he's just producing. I mean, he's just engineer, right?
No, he produces as well, does he? I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I know he's like, guitar and stuff, and they've added shit and stuff like that.
My personal favorite question: 5 dinner guests, dead or alive. Doesn't have to be artists, can be anyone in the world.
Dinner guests, I think one of them, Pac. Man, Pac is
solid.
Pac is somebody who shaped me. I don't even mean to sound corny, but like, as a person, you know what I'm saying? You know, when I was listening to Pac with some of my formative years, it was very, you know, turbulent. And Pac's music kind of really spoke to me. So I definitely have to say him. let's see some other ones. I'm trying to think of some, like, even historical figures and shit. Malcolm X, I would say, you know, what he did for – Malcolm X, Martin Luther. I think Martin Luther King, he's kind of gotten whitewashed throughout history, and kind of his movement has been co-opted and kind of pacified for everybody. But, you know, what they did was huge for the country.
Yeah.
Let's think. I would say, gotta say Obama, man. Like, how do you not do that? You know,
This table would be fun.
Yeah. Fucking we got Jay-Z, you know, how can you not do Jay-Z, the business ventures, you know, he's also an artist and stuff. And then let me try to think of somebody for like some comic relief. Cat Williams or Dave Chappelle. Yeah.
That's a banger.
Chappelle,
of a
I was thinking in my head, but
that's a banger table.
Yeah. I think, you know, just somebody to kind of keep the energy light, you know what I'm saying? Crack some jokes while we're in that bitch. Yeah.
So it's Pac.
Yeah.
Did you
Malcolm
do
Malcolm X?
Did you do both of them?
Yeah, Malcolm or Martin, interchangeably.
Jay-Z and Obama, and then Cat
Williams. Damn. Or Dave Chappelle.
That's fire.
Yeah.
That's
I guess fire. I kind of gave what? 7. I cheated, but.
What are you guys eating?
Man, I'm going to have, bro, I can never go wrong with a nice steak, so I'll probably just order a steak. Something safe, you know, but still good at the same time.
Yeah.
Maybe some asparagus, some mashed potatoes.
Okay. You know, bacon wrap.
Have a nice glass of, I might try to get interesting, get a little vodka Sprite, you know, get turning that.
There you go.
If I'm trying to feel bougie and press.
I think
JP.
It's funny that he's like, you know, want to, you know, be a little classy. Let's get a vodka and Sprite.
Yeah. I thought he was going to say like a bottle of wine for the boy.
Yeah,
right. I
thought it was going to be like Chardonnay, champagne. But he's like, nah, vodka and Sprite. That's funny.
Who are your personal favorite top 5 artists of all time? Doesn't have to be rap, you know, just hip hop. Can be any genre.
I would say some of my biggest artists in no particular order.
Yeah. No.
Party Next Door, fuck with Party Next Door heavily.
Ooh, that might have been the first time
I've heard him. Big Party Next Door fan. I was one of them ones. I got to take it back. I was proven wrong, but back when Party and The Weeknd were coming out, I said Party Next Door was better than The Weeknd. I said Party Next Door will be bigger than The Weeknd.
I hate The Weeknd. Man.
Yeah, I fuck with The Weeknd. I do like The Weeknd, but I was definitely one of them guys. I was like, Party's better. Party's going to be bigger. He's a better artist. And
I don't know if I would say that, but like The Weeknd, yeah. I cannot stand him.
I fuck with The Weeknd. I like The Weeknd.
Yeah, I know.
The Weeknd obviously went to go do huge things. Not that Party Next Door hasn't.
That album,
But yeah, he definitely.
Good album.
I feel like Party stayed more low key, whereas Weeknd went
mainstream.
Like household mainstream. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And he's not The Weeknd anymore, right? You said that.
I think this next album he's got coming up, I don't know if it's been released or not, is his last name Under The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
To his official name. Mm. But yeah, I say Party Next Door. Another one, Trippie Redd. Huge Trippie fan. Low key, when Trippie was first coming up, I put so many of my friends on Trippie.
Like, really?
Yeah. So huge Trippie fan. Another one I would say, I feel like he's starting to kind of get a lot of more household name, Kenny Mason.
I've been
fucking with Kenny Mason since 2018, bro. Like,
I mean, someone said that. Yeah. Brownie?
I think so.
I've been rocking with Kenny Mason. His first song hit when I looked it up, when I discovered who Kenny Mason was, I had like 100 views on YouTube.
Wow.
I've been, you know, the Spotify raps and your mm-hmm. Artists consistently for years, I was in the top 0.0001. Like,
that's wild.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a crazy statistic. I've been
like Kenny Mason right now at this time is my favorite artist. I would say so. What you got? What Party Next Door, yeah. Trippy, Kenny, obviously Pop, you know, I said that, you know, and then who's another artist? Drake.
Too, yeah, I was gonna say. I'm surprised you haven't said Drake yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Good ass table.
Say Drake. Yeah.
That's not a table. Yeah, good ass list.
Yeah. I'd say definitely those are probably my five top artists. Honorable mention, actually, to another rapper that really inspired me to rap was ASAP Rocky. So definitely got to put him on that list, whether it honorable mention or top five. Like, gotta, can I
six
not
man?
Say his name? Six man. Lou Williams. And
if you could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, an album that has no skips in your opinion from start to bottom or from start to finish, why did I say start to bottom? That was
weird. I mean, it works.
Start same difference. To finish.
I would have to say, man, it's a lot of good albums. There's a lot of good albums from those artists that I just mentioned. I'm gonna cheat. I'm gonna put two of them in there, bro. I would have to say Party Next Door's P2, the one with Recognize and all that shit. To me, perfect album. There's not a skip, bro. So that would probably be more for my like laid back, chill like vibes. And then I'd have to go Kenny Mason's first album, Angelic Hood Rat. To me, that shit, when I heard that the first time, I was like, bro, this is crazy. So, there's a lot of other good albums out there. You know, Drake's Nothing Was the Same, huge album.
Great
like,
up.
You know what I'm saying? Live Love ASAP. Like I said, that was the album that started. Like I said, I used to make parody raps, but then when I first kind of transitioned into writing serious shit, mm-hmm. I was taking songs from Live Love ASAP and I was just writing, I was using his flow and everything, but writing my own lyrics. And then that's kind of what transitioned into shit. So, but yeah, if I could only pick one album, it would definitely be between Live Love, P2 and Angelic Hood Rat. So I know that's kind of cheated the question,
though.
But yeah, nice. I can't pick one.
Those are all good answers.
Hell yeah.
If you had a gun to your head and you got to sing every lyric to a song in order to stay alive, can't be one of your own.
Okay.
Or your homies.
Okay.
Yeah.
What song would that be?
I would have to say there's one thing about me, man, is I know a lot of lyrics, and I would have to say, actually, you know what? I'm not gonna mention any of the artists that I already previously mentioned, because I think that's a little too easy. I'm gonna give you guys a curveball. Guns to my head, gotta rap every word lyric for lyric to stay alive. I'm going to say Forever by Clairo.
Mm. Oh, I thought he was going to go Forever
with Drake and Kendrick.
I mean, Kanye.
Yeah, by Clairo. I fuck with. She's I don't necessarily know how I would explain her music. I'm not a huge fan. I do. There's a lot of songs by her that I like, but I'm not plugged in enough to like give you. But it's more like I wouldn't say it's pop, but it's definitely I wouldn't say it's like indie. I don't know how to explain it. I'd have to look her up to see exactly.
She's her own genre.
You know what I'm saying? I'd have to look her up to see what her genre would be defined as. But right. Yeah, I think gun to my head, bro.
That's the one.
I could like definitely. Post.
Like, you know, I don't know what, like, genre.
He's just making music, yeah, man. He's having fun.
Exactly. So I would definitely say you put a gun to my head, put on Clairo Forever.
You're chilling?
I'm living.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
We
had people come on here, and they'll, like, jokingly start to rap it, and they'll already mess up. So we're like, you're done. There's no pressure right now.
Exactly. Like, you don't even got the gun to your head.
Yeah. Right?
Or we'll have the people that give you the, happy birthday, or ABC.
Oh, man. That's too easy.
I said Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Yeah, bro.
You make it a challenge.
I know the hook to that. I don't know that song.
I've heard it too much not to know it.
I feel that. Yeah. I feel that shit.
In the next 10 years, is one of our final questions.
Mm-hmm.
In the next 10 years, whether it's inside or outside of music, where do you see the next 10 years of your life going? You got any other ventures that you want to pursue, you know?
So for me, music is it. Like, that's my love. I can't picture myself doing something not music related. You know, that's what I want to do. Like, you know, I've worked here, I've worked there, and just I can't see myself punching a clock. Like, you know what I'm saying? Actually, funny enough, with my name Tango Banks, I work at a bank right now. You know what I'm saying? I can't do that. I get my coworkers, the higher ups, like, oh, you know, why aren't you applying for this? Why aren't you doing that? And I was like, bro, I don't plan on being here forever. That's why. You know what I'm saying? So 10 years from now, it'd definitely be something in the music sphere. I want to big ultimate goal is to be maybe not as big as Drake. I definitely want to, when I'm done with music, have a normal life. You know what I mean? So, but you know, in that same sphere, I want to be able to, you know, when I call it a career, have people be like, you know, this is an important person in the culture. Somebody I would say kind of like Tyler the Creator.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He's not necessarily somebody that you're going to look at as like, he's that guy. Like, you're not going to look at the 2010s or 2020s and Tyler's not going to be the first five names that you sure. say. And that's no disrespect.
No.
But
no.
It's the reality of it. But when you talk about people who push the culture
his forward, legacy is there.
Yeah. You know, Igor for me is that's another one I could have put on that album.
No,
like,
skips.
You know what I'm saying? No skips. To me, Igor is crazy, and when you think of some of the things that he's done, Flower Boy and all that other shit, it's like, you cannot, if you know rap music, if you know rap culture, you can't talk about the 2010s and the 2020s without mentioning Tyler's Creator's name.
Yep.
And be respected in the sphere, right? And that's where I see myself. Like, I want to be somebody that in, you know, 10 years from now, I hope to still be doing music by then, you know, say, so maybe 10, 15 years from now. But I want to be, because, you know, we're in the middle of the 2020s right now, but I want to be able to look back and be like, speaking of 2020s and 2030s music, you can't not mention Tango Banks. He might not be Drake. He might not be Ye or Kendrick or J. Cole, but he's the Tyler, the Creator. He's a
A$AP Rocky.
He's an A$AP Rocky. He's a Travis Scott. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Guys that when you talk about that time, you can't in good faith not mention their name.
Right.
You want a dent. You want to make a dent. They're going down the thing, you want there to be a little divot where they have it.
You got to bring the name up, whether you like me, whether you don't like me, whether, you know what I'm saying, you thought my music was good, bad, whatever. Like, you got to bring it up.
Yeah.
You got to say something about it. Lil Yachty, even in a sense.
That's a good answer.
I fuck with Yachty heavily.
His progression.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The way he's grown throughout this whole business from what I've seen from XXL to now.
Yeah. And crazy. So that's kind of, you know, that is definitely. Now, if I were to get to Drake's level or, you know, oh, tango's top three, I wouldn't necessarily shy away from it. Like, who doesn't want to be one of the greatest at their craft? But the goal for me, if I were not to be able to make that second tier of rapper list, I think I wouldn't call it a failure, but it wouldn't satisfy me. It wouldn't satisfy me. So that's what I plan on. That's what I see myself doing 10 years from now. Having business ventures outside of that too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I want to.
What other interests are you?
So I would definitely want to just open up like certain restaurants and shit like that. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Just something that is always just like, you know, you hear rappers and athletes, it's like, I have these different business ventures. So that way when you're in those industries, you only make money at a certain time.
You got a window.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And music's a little different because you can have songs blow up later and you have residual incomes because people are still streaming your music, but you're never going to be able to make the amount of money off of a track as when you first put it out, when you're actively out there. And so it's like, I want to have, you know, businesses and stuff. So that way, like, the rap checks could come in and it's nice, you know, I can do something with it, but I'm still combined with the business ventures, you know, through restaurants or, you know, other business things, whatever the fuck they might be, you know what I'm saying? Be able to, my biggest goal, I think, in life is to just be financially free for me and, you know, my family and everybody that I care about. So, but yeah, you know, leave a mark on the culture, be a name that you can't forget, and then just, you know, be financially free.
That was a damn good answer.
I like that quote. Be a name they can't forget. That's a good quote. Yeah, I like that.
Hell yeah. Well, I do want to thank you for coming on. I appreciate you, man. Out here.
Appreciate you having
this was
me.
A good one. Yeah, this was a really good one.
I enjoyed it, bro.
I'm glad you drove an hour and a half.
Hell yeah. Just a little bit. Good thing grass prices are going down a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Very well spoken.
Yeah, man.
All of his stuff will be in the description. Links will be in the bio.
Yes, sir. Listen, right now, if you're checking out, I got back up right now. The music video is out now. If you're watching and, you know, you fuck with it, got some more shit coming out. So check that out. I got some other stuff coming out. So stay tuned and take a chance, right?
Hey. Hell yeah. Well, with that being said, you got any other shout-outs you want to give out? Anyone watching? Or?
Man, I'll shout out 29. Shout out my homie T2 Time. Shout out my nigga Coyote. My nigga Ray Rich, everybody, you know what I'm saying? I love you guys. Shout out Michigan.
Yeah. Well, like I said, thank you for coming on, man. This was a good one.
Yeah, it was.
Like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you next Sunday. Peace out.
Woo-woo.